Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we give you thanks for gathering us here today to hear your word proclaimed. May it touch our hearts so that we can change the world in Jesus' name. Amen. The way I see it, people fall into one of two categories. Either you are a person who looks before you leap, or you're one of those who leaps before you look. It happens from a very early age. And you can kind of tell what you're going to end up being even when you're a child. This week at preschool, in the first week of school, we saw this firsthand, did we not, Deacon Deborah? Because what you had are two groups of kids. One, they would come to school, and as soon as they got their hands sprayed, it was like they were off to the races. They were so excited. It's like, bye, Mom and Dad, later. You know, and Mom sitting there with tears running down her face. Oh, no, the kid's gone. You know, let's do this. This is awesome. Then you had the other children. And they were clinging to the car door, then to their parents, then to the doorknob. And they were screaming and crying, and that we would have to peel them off of their parents like they were being handed over to the executioner because they were not about to just jump on into this preschool thing. And see, now you may think then that those who leap before they look, it's easy for them. They just jump on in, no problem. That's not entirely true, though. Let me give you an example. So when I was in kindergarten, in case you didn't know it, I tend to leap before I look kind of guy, right? So when I was in kindergarten, started at Mill Creek Elementary in Columbia. First day, really excited. I got to go to big boy school. It was awesome, and things were going great. And then our family moved a month or two later. We moved to Orangeburg, started at Marshall Elementary. Again, boom, big boy school, new class, new people to meet, new teacher, new stuff to look at. Awesome. Things were going great. Now, back in those days, they had half-day kindergarten. Anybody remember that? And so I was an afternoon kid. We would come in around lunchtime and, you know, get off the bus, and we would be there for about 3 hours then. Well, that didn't really work with my parents' work schedule, to say the least. And so I would stay with a neighborhood kid until it was time to get on the bus. And so we did that day after day after day. But then one day, not too long after I got there, maybe a month or so, I decided that I was no longer going to school. And I was not getting on the bus. I had been to big boy school, I had been there and done that, and I realized that this school stuff is for the birds. And so no matter how hard that poor mother tried to get me on the bus, she couldn't force me, I wasn't hers, and so I didn't get on the bus. So she called my daddy. Now, my father was not really big on his schedule being changed, especially for the child that was truant from kindergarten. And so I remember the conversation. He brought me into our living room and set me down. And rather than just yelling at me, he asked me, why? Why did I not go to school? Well, I thought about this for a little bit, and I had two reasons. The first was that the teacher only gave me check marks. And I didn't know what a check mark was. Yeah, thinking back, that's a pretty good point. You know, for all you teachers out there, you might want to explain what a check mark is before you just willy-nilly give them out to everybody. Because five-year-olds, they don't know what that is. And I was tired of getting check marks on everything. And my mother used to put stickers on her on her papers, and I just got a check mark. That wasn't fair. And then I would miss Blanky. Blanky, my blue blanket that I carried with me everywhere like Linus, was not allowed to go with me to school. And so I missed my blankie, and my blankie missed me, and so I wasn't going to school anymore. To which my father responded, you will never see your blankie again if you don't get on that bus tomorrow. So needless to say, I was there bright and shining. But see, here's the thing. When the school year started, I was all about going. I leaped before I looked, or I leapt. I don't know. Whatever the grammar is. But anyway, I jumped before I looked around, okay? But then after I did the jumping, after I leaped, I started checking things out and realized I should not have done that. I'm not sure this is all right. And so what you've got is, in these two groups of people, you've got those that are going to do their homework ahead of time. They're going to Google everything. They're going to do their research. They're going to pick up this new food item, and they're going to smell it before they dive into it. They're going to stick their toe in the water before they jump in. But then you've got the other people who they're just going to take a big bite. They're going to dive right in. They're going to check. They're going to just go like a bull in a china shop, and then they're going to check things out. So it's not that you don't, both of them end up checking things out. It's just they do it at a different time. And when you do new things, the emotions are still the same. Doubt, dread, and fear. Those who look before they leap have the doubt, dread, and fear at the beginning. And those who leap before they look have it in the middle. So which one are you? I think we all know which one Peter is. In today's gospel reading, we hear a story. And so let me give you a little background information. So Jesus heard that John the Baptist had been killed. And then he tried to be by himself, and that didn't work out so well. And this huge crowd of people were there, and they were hungry, and so Jesus fed them with 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish. Okay? That was last week. And now this week, Jesus is telling, we pick up where that left off, and Jesus says to his disciples, y'all go ahead to the other side. I'm going to dismiss the crowds. I still need my alone time. And so he did that. He went up a mountain and he prayed. And while they were there, the boat that the disciples were in, they were already far off from shore. They were probably in the middle somewhere, because where they were going, they couldn't get there fast enough. And they basically, they were at the whim of the wind and the waves. But then, there in the middle of the night, they see this figure coming toward them. And as I'm sure you can imagine, they freaked out. Just like you and I would freak out if we were on a boat and all of a sudden saw a figure walking to us on water, yeah? And so it's a ghost, it's a ghost, and they're screaming in fear. And Jesus says, calm down, it's just me. It's just me. And so Peter says, all right. Well, if it is you, command me to walk out there to you. Jesus says, come. And so Peter gets out of the boat and walks toward Jesus on the water. Now, in my Bible, every Bible I have, if you look at the title, you know, the ones, some Bibles have little titles over things. What does it say? Jesus walks on water. Is there anyone here that doesn't think Jesus can walk on water? I mean, Jesus can do anything. I think we're all in agreement. One of the reasons we're here. But now, am I the only one that's shocked that Peter walked on water? I think that is a much bigger deal than Jesus walked on water. But see, here's the thing. The story is more than just walking on water. Because not only was that a new and unusual thing, the disciples in general were having a hard time with the trip that they were going on. Because you see, when Jesus told them that they were going to the other side was Gentile land. It was a place that they didn't want to go. It was a people that they didn't want to be around. It was a group that would not welcome them, and quite honestly, they really didn't care. This is not where they wanted to go. And Jesus was sending them to the other side. Doubt, dread, and fear. They didn't want to go. And so they weren't there. I mean, I kind of wonder personally, was it the waves that was keeping them from going? Or were they just biding their own time? Like we tend to do. Because you know the whole time over there, all the lookers were like, nope, we don't want to go there. We know what's waiting on that other side. Gentiles, they don't like us. We don't like them. And then, in the midst of their fear and worry about their destination, then they got something else to worry about. This guy walking on the water. But again, Peter, we all know Peter's much more a leaper, right? I mean, Peter's all the time leaping into things. He doesn't look both ways before he crosses the street. Peter just leaps right in there. Come on, Jesus, I got you. But then it hits him. I ain't supposed to be able to walk on water. Feel that wind? Feel those waves? I can't do this. Dread, doubt, and fear. And with that, Peter begins to sink. But here's what happens next. Immediately, that word is so strong. Immediately, Jesus reaches down and lifts him up. Reaches his hand down, lifts Peter up out of the water, and says, "Hey, you of little faith, why do you doubt?" And with that, he takes them back into the boat, into safety, where the ones that were still trying to figure things out, the ones that were too afraid to leap right in, realized, "You are the Son of God." You see, my friends, as the fallen, broken humans that we are, we're either going to leap or we're going to look. But the reality is, we're still going to be filled with dread and fear and doubt. We're still going to struggle with whether or not we should be doing the things that God is calling us to do. Whether or not we have the ability, whether or not we have the strength, whether or not we have the courage to step right out of that boat and move forward. Or keep walking once we've stepped out. We let our dread and doubt and fear get in the way of doing what God wants us to do. Whether as individuals or as a congregation, it can seem rather daunting, can't it? Because this is what God wants us to do. It's this huge calling. It's this life-changing event. It's this thing that we don't know that we've got the money for. We don't know that we've got the brains for. We don't know that we got the people for. We don't know that we have the abilities for this. And so we start to sink and sink and sink. But then we have a God. We have a God who lifts out his hand and lifts us up out of the water and brings us into safety. Despite our fear, despite our dread, despite our doubt, God is still with us. God is still giving us that strength and that ability to move forward, to get out of the boat and to keep walking. And so, my friends, if you are a leaper, I mean, if you're a looker, pray that God will give you the courage and strength to step out of the boat. If you are a leaper, pray that God will give you the courage and the strength to keep walking once you're out. But either way, pray that you will be willing and able to respond to the call that you've been given. To overcome the dread and the fear and the doubt. Because like it or not, folks, we're still called to get on that bus. We still got to go to school the next day. We still have to answer God's call. Because there's a lot of folks in this world, there's a lot of folks in this community, there's a lot of folks in this church that needs us to do exactly what we've been called to do. Have faith. Step out and keep walking. Amen.